I thought I'd be number three, but there you go. I haven't written a poem in ages, but I wrote this one back in September, and it doesn't really have a title, so I'm just calling it Body Weather, which is the workshop I was on, Berwick Peninsula, September 17. It's for my friend Niamh. In this silence, she brings me seaweed, tells me to trace its saline sap over the skin of my face. I carry rock-drained bunches back, slip them into a hot bath of rain-yellowed wild water. Earth, sea, sky, minerals dissolve. I lower the soft stones of my body in, islands curve out, hairs glisten, grass ripples over rock, a shoreline. I breathe in this warm silence, witness the pulse of my heart and the breath of my belly, one beat per second until the full swell of me absorbs it, conceals it for 3, 4, 5 seconds. The dips return, the eye of my belly winks, weeps liquid light.
Thanks, Rosie. Charles Clark.
So I wrote it on my age, and well, let's have the roots free. I just let the roots free. Well, words are lightly spoken, said Pierce to Connolly. Maybe a breath of light words has withered the rose tree. Or maybe but a wind that blows across the bitter sea. It needs to be but watered, James Connolly replied, to make the green come out again and spread on every side and shake the blossom from the bud to be the garden's pride. But where can we grow water, said Pierce to Connolly, when all the wells are parched away? Oh, plain as plain can be, as nothing but our own red blood can make a right from the screen.
Thanks, Charles. Next up is Molly Garvey. To memorial photographs that I sent out after a funeral. Memory in. Remember she had a back and sides. Remember she swam weekly, got her hair done weekly, drove until the end, read until the end, a member of 2 book clubs. Remember she had a diary and could maybe fit you in someday next week around midday. Remember that she disliked the smell of garlic, especially on the breath of others. That she planned the garden planting where the artichokes would go. And how she sang once at Christmas, a short song from the depths of the sofa. Remember how she would never remember that she had a cat. Remember her swollen knuckles emerging from grey cashmere and woolen wrist warmers. Remember her shrinking at the head of the table. Remember her taking an interest and then moving along to the next grandchild. The shortbread biscuits in the peeling biscuit tin on top of the gas fire. The pen resting on the crossword, the bookmark. the not-so-guilty pleasure of return to the book. The not-so-guilty pleasure of excessive watching of BBC detective shows on a small TV built into the bookcase. The forgotten salad at the back of the fridge. The three cheeses in the fridge door. Beef tongue sliced. Tuck crackers and a glass of white wine. Baklava from last year. Turkish delight from last year. Slow gin. Jams of many kind pressed through muslin into a copper vat. Labelled in her scroll or my auntie's hand. Prunes in Armagnac, 1 year. Preserved lemons, 1 year. Remember, there is no memory of her at the sink. Remember her advice at the introduction to my first partner. Try a few. Remember her sharp and subtle tongue. Remember her heaviness. Remember her fleshiness. Remember she had a back and sides. Thank you very much, Molly. Next up is Stephen James Smith.
Few days in the stalls with the Brighton's Week, which was lovely. I'm kind of sad to be here somewhat, just in terms of what Daniel was talking about earlier on. So I was friends with Paul Curran, who I'm sure most of you probably know. He's an incredible poet. Listened to him an awful lot. The very last time I saw Paul was here. A few months back, when I just decided to come by again. The last time I saw him was outside, and he asked if I wanted to stay in his house, and I didn't. I had stuff to do back home. I probably could have stayed, but I didn't, and I had no idea what he was going to do. So yeah, that's part of the reason I wanted to come here and just kind of say a poem for Paul. I was going to do a different one because it was the first time I said the poem that night off page, which is normally quite a nerve-wracking experience, as I'm sure you can all attest to as well. And he was a tremendous source of encouragement. But I'm not going to do that one. I'm actually going to do one that ties into the festival a little bit in terms of Harbour, and I wrote it in Kerry. And maybe it's also even more apt because it touches upon the time when I was particularly low in my life, and maybe when I was contemplating suicide as well, and thankfully I didn't, but anyway, so this is a poem from Paul. A man goes to the coast of an island to be alone. He has gone as far as he can for now, his cold retreat. A great distance is not always far enough when the mind is as restless as the ocean you're sleeping beside. This man is seeking solitude, and in so doing has brought the loneliness into his own heart. Sure, he knew this would be the way of it, but he still put one foot in front of the other. You have to face it sometimes, learn. The barren landscape has seemed worse. He reminds himself of the continued struggle and erosion that is life. He thinks that's a cliched metaphor, a famine village is deserving of more. He looks out at the ocean all too often, the primal part of him wanting to rage in the deep blue. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. And around the table he was told of a tragic love story of a man who, after he buried his love, climbed to the top of Bola's head and threw himself to the depths. After this story, the man made the same trek. It'd be so easy to climb the rock walls and pass by the sheep in the fields and dive, never submitting, but knowing it's a fight never to be won once submerged. There's something honest in that, though, he thinks, is there? Never submitting. Those rocks are patient hunters. How much violence have they caused by simple stillness? And birdsong calls through the air. Like so many times it's called him away from a dark edge. Like so many times it's the simple things in his life that save him. Fond memories. Curiosity. He could have sworn he saw the Fibonacci sequence in a spiderweb earlier. This reminds him. Instead, he'll walk on into the wind which numbed his face yesterday while a warm heart pounds on beneath all the layers. He can go so far and it's never enough. You can learn to be still and it'll come to you. You can think of moving rocks, battling nature, or arranging words in some fashion aiming for a legacy. This is redundant. You fucking know this. Leave your ego at this pagan peninsula. Echoes of trauma, just that time for silence. You are here. The man notices the bruise on his knee is fading. The salted air is already healing. Later, heal your legs and light a fire. Later, good things will come to pass. He reminds himself of this right now. As he sits still, warming his feet, ready to wander.
All of us are bastards, some remain so. This cold snap recognizes its own. Minion steps to salvation demonstrates, pulping facts into administration over candlelight. Losing thought over coffee is paramount. Stacking tired, leaving late for practice. Both falling at the first hurdle, kindly killing, buried under floorboards or even the patio. The elusive fair trial, calling for beginners, calling for pleasure as innocent flesh. Crushed like a teenager losing ground, sardonic letters in the wrongful hands. Asking for ridicule, this crude exercise. Not knowing more facts, blindly stumbling into the trouble, bitter empowered, passing over. Some life beyond death, a painful trick, making easier the existence of a foreign terror. Grinding to a halt, the flurry of the snow. 3 inches at last count, down to free fall. This cold refreshment eats to anyone's innards. Knowing your diet positive so you can correct them. Fireside diatribes are rude to hubris. Comfortably shocked, hardened truths abiding. Moving through the parish joke realized. Told to an incentive that might just probably work. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. So next up is Jamie Lawton.
I find not everybody rhymes. I don't know why that is. All I know is why I do, and what it is about rhyme that fits with a mind that sits in a mire, mixed and attired with the briars and sticks. A mess of conflict, looking like it can't be fixed. But how else do you start? How do you create your art? How do you write what can hit me hard, what is in your head and is in your heart? Because for me it's hard to choose the words to use without a rule in place. I need a limit, I need some constraints. There's too much I could say, and too little that I want to. I don't want to talk about the things by which I'm haunted, but the caution that I guard my thoughts with drops and falls away. The diversion is what lets me be more honest. So what can I say that rhymes? What fits into 16 bars? Finding ways to make it hard, I can write what is in my heart, and I can start to pull apart the hardened part of me that resists being described directly.
Thanks, Jenny. Next up is Cedric.
Hi, fair old child. Oh, wasn't she proud, the little animal, roaring to the sky, her chest wide open. Her voice traveled away across the plain of the weed and sand. She was a Maine queen, telling the land about her pride. She did not need an answer, as traces in the sand revealed by the dusk light proved that she was her. There were more hair on her head than grass anywhere I could see. Her subjects were silent somewhere, but they were there. She roared some more, as if she had heard the clamor for an encore. Until the light of the first lamp shone, with the sun finally gone and tired, she strutted back home.
Thanks, Cedric. Next up is Mary O'Connell.
Oh. I have wonderful friends still there. A mixture of French and English. This is called A Tour de Farce. The French protest when English words invade their precious tongue, forgetting all the double entendre their own parlance has sprung. When someone goes out on the piste, we share a crafty wink and guess he's skiing in St. Moritz, not knocking back the drink. It's hard to count the words in French that are in daily use. Might I offer you a soupçon without being too obtuse? The posh neighbours from across the way are somewhat nouveau riche. Might I offer, they always, they've got an antique bidet and constantly eat quiche. They dine in the best restaurants where French is de rigueur, and when they need to be très chic, they opt for haute couture. When the father wrote his memoirs, avoiding too much gloom, he wanted to disguise himself and chose a nom de plume. The girls are brought up with finesse, the boys are reading Proust. Their constant aim in writing is to look for le mot juste. To tell them French has been eclipsed would be considered crass. It might even take a lawnmower to strike the good grass. Like many other Frenchophiles, the parents flaunt their flair, and to master those French letters, have sent their kids au pair.
Thanks, Mary. Next up is Aoife Maher.
Called Walks with My Mother. I trekked all the way to the top of Slieve na Mann in the rosy hours with my mother. As I looked out across the terrain of the place of my birth, my body weary from the walk and my mind somewhere else entirely, she spoke of my father, how they had parted ways long before I had taken my first steps, how he was the funniest man she has ever met, and how sometimes it was hard to laugh at my jokes, our deliveries inexplicably similar. My father having refused since childhood to ever have his photo taken remains a man of mystery in my mind, except for one my mother had taken secretly while they were courting, sitting at a table with impossibly perfect posture, arms folded, long legs crossed at the knee. Years later, you and I are sitting in a cafe somewhere in mainland Europe, and a shiver runs up my spine as that image returns to me, looking at you now, arms folded, long legs crossed at the knee. I had hoped, beyond hope, that I would fall for a man who was different than him, a man who wouldn't be.
Thanks very much, Aoife. Next up is Jerry Murphy.
Stop that, man.
That's a gift for the... That's a gift for your book club. Yeah. Jesus, Paul, you've been here all night.
Hey, Jerry, I have you. From here.
This would be an anniversary poem if I was here on the 23rd of April. It's called Some Words on the Death of Wordsworth. On the 23rd of April, 1850, in his 88th year, the poet Wordsworth died. In announcing his demise, the Democratic Review... In announcing his demise, the Democratic Review remarked that they were not impressed by any heavy sense of sorrow. They declined to include him in the list of those like Burns, Byron, and Shelley were marked by their immortal passion for liberty. We have no tears for the salaried slave of aristocracy. We refuse to mourn the pensioned parasite of monarchy.
Thanks, Jerry. Next up, Philip Spillane.
This was actually a love poem, but the person's going to name anonymous, as most love poems are. Missing moments and memories. A red robin whistles the end of a song, and she is going afar to a home and wants to end it with one last love poem. I would miss a fairy tale from the lips of a red robin, more so than perceived. When I first noticed she would be gone, that's why I want to.
Alright, go on.
That was not symbolic, but anyway.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul.
It's alright.
That's why I want to lock the moments when I try to write this love poem, as a friendship can stretch far if we let it. And built on building blocks of choice memories, if we wanted. Memories we spent trying to be poets, or maybe we were. Thanks.
Thanks, Philip. Next up, Jim Crickard.
So this is kind of like, I want you to just picture it's a postcard. Wish you were queer. Dearest Christopher, I've been thinking about you while perusing the nude statues of Italy. The sculpted marble is, mon Dieu, incroyable. My eyes widened at Poseidon and his enormous trident. I was struck by Zeus and his merveilleux lightning. As you can tell, I'm still the same camp little Francophile. But it was when I saw David's marble physique, I thought of when we skinny dipped in secret. Although I confess, my memory is hazy, as the moon that left its silver breath on the marum grass in the pampas. I can barely remember how your skin, dipped silver, was caramelized by the campfire. I can barely remember whether we shared a sleeping bag or your sleeping breath fell on my back. I stress it was the art, it wasn't you that made my mascara stream spidery down my cheeks, turning my eyes into octopi, spraying ink in the gallery. I tried to blot them with my paisley pink handkerchief, but decided better to hide them beneath my chic sunshades and hide my emotions en vogue. It is dusk and the Italian sun levitates the bay, turning these moving marble waters orange. I'm thinking of you as I promenade this grande ville. Send my regards to Amy and the baby. It is a shame that you are at home and you are not here. I guess I'm writing this postcard to say, I wish you were queer.
Thanks, Jim. Next up is Kieran McCartan.
To the system. Pay them to sweat, pay them to smell, keep their tongues wet, keep them doing well, show them the image in their head, the first time they thought of hell. Take the truth in what they said, make it something to sell. Pour comfort on their fresh, let their egos swell. Add angst to their debt, teach them how far they fell. Tint their past red, ring future's bell. Keep folly well fed, send them thirsty to the well. Let the voices of the dead teach them how to tell those in their stead to stay caged in their cell. Fuel them with bread, let their rage quell. Tell them time has sped, keep them under that spell. Narrow the paths they tread, keep them in their shell, where influence has led and comfort compels. Pay them to sweat, pay them to smell, show them the image in their head, the first time they thought of hell.
Thanks, Carol. So, I'd like to thank everybody for participating in the open mic tonight. I'd especially like to thank Daniel Wade, and if we could please give Daniel a really warm